Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter, and also PWTorch.com and MMATorch.com, and also host of this, the PW Torch Livecast. I'll be here for the next 4 days. Tonight, immediately following Raw, as the credits roll. Well, there are no credits, but you know what I mean. As the credits roll on Raw, we go on the air. Tomorrow night, right after SmackDown, as 205 Live begins, we live watch 205 Live as we reflect on, comment on, and talk with you, the callers, about the just completed episode of SmackDown and the long-awaited dream match between John Cena and Randy Orton. Oh, wait. And also, then Wednesday, it'll be the midweek flagship at 1 Eastern. And this week, Pro Wrestling Spotlight host, John Arezzi, joins me as co-host. John Arezzi hosted the Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show from the late 80s through the mid-90s. He had me as a guest on his New York-based radio show many times during that stretch of years he was on the air. And he returns the favor. I return the favor. We join each other again on a regular basis here on the PW Torch livecast. John's still following wrestling closely. An ex-wrestler, ex-convention promoter, pro wrestling radio show host, and now a country music manager joins me to talk about wrestling. And he always brings a great perspective, because not only does he watch it as a grizzled veteran fan who was once covering it, a lot of serious issues in pro wrestling during some pretty serious times in the early 90s, during the rise of the steroid scandal and a lot of other issues. But now he also looks at wrestling through the eyes of his nephew, who has been a big WWE fan and pro wrestling fan in general for a number of years. And it's brought him back into looking at wrestling through a different lens. So it's always great to have John on the show. And he brings such a knowledge of history and also knowledge of the current product. So that'll be Wednesday midday. And then Thursday, it'll be Interview Thursday. Last Thursday, Drew Galloway, formerly Drew McIntyre in WWE, joined me live for an hour to talk about what he's up to. Will he stay in TNA? Will he renew his deal? Under what scenario would he like to return to WWE? He didn't hold back in terms of what he would like, in terms of a reintroduction segment. And it was a good conversation. Hope you had a chance to listen to that. And then two Thursdays ago, Stone Cold Steve Austin joined me for 2 hours, the second hour VIP exclusive, but a two-hour interview. Really good stuff, especially that second hour with Steve Austin. Check out the first hour, which was free, at our home base website, pwtorchlivecast.com. That is a homepage for this very show. Today's co-host is Pat McNeil, longtime PW Torch columnist and also host of the VIP audio show, The Way Back Playback. And we're going to be talking about, I think, a pretty newsworthy edition of Raw tonight. A lot happening and big news on a number of fronts in terms of Fastlane. Goldberg versus Kevin Owens is now official for Fastlane. Not only that, but we got to see Samoa Joe against Roman Reigns already on Raw. And we got an update on Seth Rollins, a torn MCL. They listed him as simply doubtful for the WrestleMania, which is I've been reporting that since last Thursday. That's kind of the sports term for he might make it, he might not. We're not sure. And this show was, I guess, an example of them hedging a little bit in terms. I don't know if hedging is the right word, but just not committing to whether he's going to be back in time or not. I think they're working from a dual track game plan. I've talked about this on the VIP Wade Keller hotline for a number of days, that the word after, you know, 2-3 days after Raw was, it's not as serious as last time. It might keep him out of WrestleMania, but it might not. If it doesn't and he wrestles, it might not be advisable. So we went into detail on that a few days ago on the Wade Keller Hotline for VIP members and talked about it with Bruce Mitchell on the Bruce Mitchell audio show. Again, another exclusive VIP program over the weekend. We thank our VIP members, and we'll tell you more about how to become a VIP member later on tonight. We're going to take a lot of phone calls on today's show. I want to see if this is Pat McNeil on the phone line. I'm not sure if it is. Pat, is this you?
Hello, you people. Yes, it's me.
Excellent, Pat.
Yes. So based on your discussion of John Arezzi, the next natural step in my career evolution is to become a country music manager.
Pretty much, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. So we'll see how that goes. Keep us up to date, Pat. Are you? I don't even know. I shouldn't say I don't know. I know what style of music you listen to. Like classic rock from late 70s through the 80s. Is that a good assessment?
Yes, I used to be a college DJ, and then while in college, I was a weekend DJ at a classic rock station, actually here in Greenville, South Carolina. So yeah, that's
right.
Yeah,
here?
Right where I'm sitting. Anyway.
Yes. Very cool. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get your quick thought on Raw before we take some calls. The Samoa Joe Roman Reigns match, just want to start with that. Are you surprised that they gave that away already? Or is it a good thing to do to get Joe out there, establish him as a hard-hitting, heavy-hitting, main event caliber wrestler for those uninitiated in Samoa Joe style, and have him score a tainted but still pin over Roman Reigns thanks to a distraction from Braun Strowman? Obviously, Braun Strowman's been watching all the women's matches in WWE and knew how to cost the baby face the match, since
yes.
It seems like every women's match in WWE ends exactly with that sequence.
Yes, and in fact, he probably saw it during the Bayley-Nia Jax match that was earlier in the evening. So, yeah, that's a good call there by Braun Strowman. He's a smart guy. I guess I wasn't surprised, but the whole reason for Samoa Joe being there, which is to be the stepping stone for that Seth has to go through to get to Triple H, is gone. Because, as you pointed out, Seth Rollins is injured, and, on an NFL injury report, doubtful would mean there's a 75% chance that the player couldn't play. So I guess that's what WWE is saying, that, that the odds are that Rollins won't be there, which begs the question of what do you have Samoa Joe do? And I don't think they know the answer to that yet.
Yeah,
they knew that they wanted him to beat Roman Reigns, so that was good.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're thinking about a couple approaches, depending on whether Seth is available or not. Well, Pat, I know that you're an NFL fan. Who is your pick for the Super Bowl coming up 6 days from now, next Sunday?
That's a very funny way.
Okay. Right, picking Atlanta or New England?
Actually, I think we covered that on my Twitter feed yesterday.
No, I honestly don't know who you're predicting will win next Sunday. You're ruining my joke,
yeah.
Pat.
I know.
Not the first time. You're supposed to say.
No, it isn't.
No, okay. Just say, Pat. Okay, we'll edit all this afterwards. Not really. Just go. Wade, the Super Bowl was yesterday, and then I'm supposed to go what? And then
you're supposed
to tell me the classic. Yeah, that's all I was aiming
for. Wade, the Super Bowl was yesterday. It was a fantastic game.
What? I missed it. Was it good?
Yes, it was. Yes, went to overtime, in fact.
No, that doesn't happen in Super Bowls. Well, what happened when? Okay, so it went to overtime and I missed a good game. I'm bummed out about that. Okay, this is going real smooth. Did both teams have a chance to score in overtime?
Actually, no. No, just one team.
I wonder if that's going to change.
Just the winning team.
That's what I'd be clinging to if I was a Falcon fan. I'd be upset about that. I don't like that rule.
Okay, well, let's see. Well, they went out of their way to change it in the first place to another rule that doesn't let both teams have a chance to score. So
I know. But anyway, Atlanta should have just not let them march down the field and score on them. That's the retort. Anyway, next time I have a lame routine I want to do with you, I'll work it out ahead of time instead of assuming it'll go
That's
smoothly.
Probably wise.
But it takes a little bit of the fun out of it. Vince McMahon always say, "We're Monday Night Raw. Anything can happen." And we're live, and it's uncooked. And what else did he say? Uncooked and un-what?
Uncooked, uncensored. Wait, let's see. I don't know.
Unvarnished.
Uncensored and uncooked. Something uncensored and uncooked.
Yeah. Unvarnished. I don't know. And now it's like this, you know, meticulously scripted show. You know, it's sort of the opposite of unpredictable. But I like to keep this show raw and unpredictable. So my comedy bits, I don't work out ahead of time. On the rare occasion, I try that. All right. Seriously, ridiculously good Super Bowl last night. I mean, even if you're not happy with the outcome, that was just the book. No one would believe it. If they booked that in a movie, if they scripted that kind of football game in a movie, people would just be rolling their eyes and going, this is ridiculous. They need to make it more realistic. That was quite the night. But anyway, okay. So some other news on Raw. We're going to go to our first break here, Pat. When we come back, I'm going to get your thoughts on Goldberg and Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. What's going on there? Any thoughts on Goldberg wrestling between now and Mania? Is that a little risky since Goldberg-Lesnar is a big match? And where do you think they're headed with Owens and Jericho? And what do you think of the teasers they put on the show today? And then we're going to go to phone calls. So if you're not on the phone banks yet, now is the time. 515-605-9345. 515-605-9345. You can also email us live during the show. If you are someone who goes to bed right after Raw and listen to the show in the morning, but you have a thought or a question, you certainly can email us during Raw and we can get to your question, perhaps during the live cast, even while you're sleeping. That email address is pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Let's now go to our first commercial break. And when we come back after this, Pat's thoughts on Goldberg, Owens, Jericho. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. All right, we're back. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Pat McNeil, PW Torch columnist, host of the Way Back Playback VIP audio show. Every Sunday, Pat McNeil and Jim Valley watch an hour of a pay-per-view or other such special events, Saturday's Main Events, Clash of Champions, that kind of thing, and they comment on it in real time, allowing you to sync up the program with their wisecracking and historically informative commentary available every Sunday. It drops on the VIP audio feed. VIP subscriptions can be acquired, attained, and what's another A word? Ascertained at pwtorch.com/govip. pwtorch.com/govip tells you everything you need to know about everything that comes with the VIP membership. Ad-free access to this show, about 75 podcasts per month in all, tons, a wide variety of shows that will bump a lot of other podcasts that you listen to off your listening list. I can almost promise you that if you're a pro wrestling fan and you're not a VIP member and not listening to the VIP audio show, you owe it to yourself to give it a try, and we invite you to do so. Sign-up information on that, our ad-free mobile site, our ad-free desktop site, almost 30 years of archives, over 1,400 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly Newsletter with insider information, in-depth cover stories, Q&A insider Torch talks, pay-per-view reviews, roundtable reviews, house show reports, and so much more. Hard-hitting editorials, DVD reviews, all kinds of great stuff, and over 1,400 back issues when you sign up, all available, all accessible on smartphones and desktop website, our VIP desktop website, all that and much more. Check it out. Full details, pwtorch.com/govip. Pat McNeil is my co-host on today's program. Pat, the Goldberg announcement for Fastlane. Goldberg getting a shot against Kevin Owens for the Universal title. What's that all about? What are your thoughts?
Well, it sounds like that's all about making sure that Kevin Owens doesn't actually defend the Universal title at WrestleMania, but that remains to be seen. It's an interesting matchup, and one that I really wasn't expecting when Goldberg signed on 4 months ago. That does raise a lot of questions. Are we going to have another 90-second special with Goldberg and Kevin Owens? Yeah. I mean, does Kevin Owens even know how to work a 90-second match? I mean, usually he stalls that long at the very least. So it's going to be very interesting. And how will Chris Jericho be involved? Will there be time for Chris Jericho to be involved? Yeah.
Will Chris Jericho let down Kevin Owens And that'll lead to the feud. Or does, I mean, it is not a special stipulation match, so Jericho could simply interfere and get Owens DQ'd. Owens retains the title on a fluke. But I don't know how that then leads to Owens versus Jericho. But I do not like the idea of Goldberg against Lesnar with the Universal title on the line. Because
why not?
Two things happen. Well, first of all, a match doesn't need it. Doesn't need a title to main event or be not even main, just be a big show, to be a big money attraction match. But somebody has to, one of those two then has to walk out of WrestleMania with the title. And I'm not sure that's great for the Universal Championship unless they have somebody very specific in mind that they that will beat Goldberg or Lesnar at, you know, one of the next couple pay-per-views. If Lesnar beats Goldberg, which I'm assuming he will, then Pat, who defeats Lesnar for the championship after that? Do they just go ahead and try to stop the WrestleMania drop-off, all the cancellations, and announce Lesnar Reigns and hope that that keeps people signed up to the network and have Reigns win the Universal Championship from Lesnar in May or June or something like that? What is played out a little bit? What's a likely scenario?
Well, usually if you try to figure out what the plan is for Raw, you eventually go through all the steps and you get to Roman Reigns. So I would think that Reigns would be getting it. But I mean, let's say that's the setup. Let's say you do have Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe, for example. That would be interesting. Brock Lesnar versus Owens would be interesting. Actually, Brock Lesnar versus most anybody he hasn't faced would be interesting. So,
yeah, I don't see Joe as a heel against Brock as a face, a post WrestleMania match after Brock beats Goldberg, unless, you know, the idea is to kind of not do a double turn, but have a double face ending where, you know, Lesnar wins, but it's a hard fought battle and Goldberg points at him and raises his arm and everybody's happy. But that doesn't sound like a Lesnar style moment. But I don't see a heel matchup with Joe and Lesnar either. That feels pretty. So I don't know. I mean, I love that they're keeping us guessing. I think they certainly are. So we'll be talking about this all week on Wednesday on the live cast at 1 Eastern with John Arezzi, on The Fix with Todd Martin on Wednesday, and going all the way into the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. A lot to digest coming out of tonight's show. And we're going to try to chew on some of these top items with our callers now, too. So let's go to our first call of the day and go to, looks like, who's first on the banks here? Alberto in Orlando, Florida. Why don't you kick off the show for us, Alberto? Caller portion.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for calling.
Doing good.
I got two things. Yeah. One is the comment is, I don't know if I'm feeling Goldberg versus Lesnar for the Universal title. That's obviously what's going to happen. I'm not a big fan of it, but, you know, it's whatever, you know?
So you're putting all your money down on you're putting all your money down on for sure Goldberg beating Owens. If that's the case, Alberto, do you think he squashes him? Like, is it, you know, a minute or two, just to keep, you know, prevent Goldberg from getting hurt and to have him win in dominant fashion? Or does he have a back and forth match with Owens going into a match with Lesnar, which would be kind of weird to see also?
I think, to be honest, he's going to squash him. It's going to happen so fast that that's what's going to cause him and Chris Jericho to argue and eventually have their match at WrestleMania. That's what I think is going to happen at Fastlane.
Yeah. All right, you have second item, Alberto?
Yeah, so Braun Strowman, like, I really don't know what they're going to do with Braun Strowman. At first, you know, it looked like it was going to be, everybody thought Braun was going to win the Rumble. That didn't happen. Everybody thought it might have been Braun versus Undertaker, but it, you know, obviously it's going to be Undertaker versus Roman Reigns. What do you guys think is in store for Braun at WrestleMania? Because I hope they don't waste the momentum they have with him by making him compete in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Like, what do you guys think they have in store for him?
Go ahead, Pat.
I'm afraid I have bad news, Alberto. That's really what I think they have planned for him and probably for Corbin as well, as putting him in the Battle Royal.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, well, I could see that, but I mean, they want to get everybody they can onto the show. They're going to have a that's why they're going to have the Intercontinental title ladder match and probably the Cruiserweight Gauntlet match and the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Get as many of these guys on, and ladies on there as possible.
So do you guys it kind of sounds like I don't think Seth might make it a WrestleMania. So do you guys think they might put Balor in his place, or do you think they might just go full face turn on Samoa Joe and have him face Triple H at WrestleMania?
That's a question we've been talking about all week, Pat, trying to figure out, you know, the various scenarios. Because, I mean, there's a lot of options, but I haven't heard from you, Pat, what you think are the top 1, 2, 3 options. Given the way that Vince McMahon operates, what do you think he'll do? And then what do you think is the best option, whether it's something you think Vince would consider or not, if Seth can't go?
I think we might have actually, I don't know if we actually talked about it, but I think the Vince way to do it would be to hotshot something and have Samoa Joe fight Triple H at WrestleMania, because if Seth Rollins is not going to do it, at some point you just have Joe go, well, okay, Triple H, I did your bidding, I injured Rollins, I beat up Reigns, all right, where's my title match? And Hunter goes, and the fight starts that way.
I'll throw a wild card out there that I talked about on the VIP shows this last week. Dean Ambrose. Okay. I doubt Dean has a serious top-level match on SmackDown that would be a sad to see go away. And Triple H isn't a Raw guy. He's a WWE guy, and Dean has a history with Seth. And so I could see Dean stepping up and saying, you know, you took out my Shield member, my Shield brother, Seth Rollins. I'm stepping up. And you've just got a built-in storyline there of Dean avenging what happened to Seth and giving Dean a meaningful match with somebody who Triple H, I think, could trust in the ring to have a good match with him. And he's a main event world championship level opponent. I think that's the one that has the best built-in storyline that doesn't force WWE's hand to prematurely turn Samoa Joe, which I'm not in favor of. And I kind of lean against them doing it. But, you know, who knows? I mean, I can't rule it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's too good of a heel. Like, I like Samoa Joe as a heel.
That's a good point. I mean, the crowd was almost cheering for Roman Reigns.
They were almost cheering for Braun Strowman as well.
Yeah.
All I got, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling. All right, let's go next to Michael from Northwest Virginia. Michael, you're on the live cast. I'm Wade Keller, Pat McNeil, and now you, Michael. What have you got for us?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks.
I think I have it solved with Jericho and Owens and Goldberg and how all that would come together.
Yeah, tell us.
Okay.
I don't, like you was already stated, I don't think there's an upside of KO losing the title to Goldberg. And if the predictions go as they are now, with the rumored card as it stands, we'll see Owens get knocked down to a U.S. title level. And likely winning at Mania as Jericho goes to take some time off. And then presuming Brock would get his win back after Goldberg Universal title victory, we're left with a part-time and presumably exiting Goldberg with a part-time champ in Lesnar and Universal title that likely disappears until SummerSlam. So like you said, Wade, I don't think the title needs to be involved with that, and the whole thing is just kind of blah. So the smarter option for building up all the full-time talent while checking all the boxes, keeping everybody looking strong as possible, is they go into Mania having Goldberg versus Lesnar as is. And we ultimately see at WrestleMania for the Universal title a face Jericho versus a heel Kevin Owens. They hyped it up tonight, kind of teasing the match, and I don't think that WWE would necessarily swerve us with changes to both major title main events as they've already been advertised. So with the next week being the pinnacle of the friendship festival thing they're going to do, well, then the following 2 weeks kind of start things seem to they'll get subtly unraveled going into the March 5th Fastlane, where we'll see Sami Zayn face Jericho for the U.S. title. Sami Zayn wins the title after Owens tries to help his best friend, but he never quite comes through. And then we'll see Goldberg versus Owens, where KO wins because Jericho interferes and does help his best friend. And then the build-up for the next few weeks, we'll see clips showing what I mentioned about how Jericho has always had Owens' best intentions in mind, and KO was just never quite there when he needed him, leading us to Mania, where we see Jericho versus Owens. Owens retains the title to come out the next night, saying how he doesn't need anyone to watch his back. He can beat all comers, and then we lead up to the return of Finn Balor. This scenario gives Brock Lesnar his win back. Goldberg has his goodbye WrestleMania moment. Jericho boosts KO and gives him the uber heat going into a strong feud with Balor. Sammy's finally been elevated and validated with a title. Jericho takes a break, and then we start with a new season with Finn Balor challenging.
Michael, let me just have you either reiterate or expand. What happens with Owens and Goldberg in their one-on-one match? How does that play out? Is it long? Is it short? What's the finish?
I don't know what they'll do with it. I don't think it can be too long by any means, but I think Jericho interferes and ultimately helps KO. And I think you'll start to see as the weeks going into Mania where Jericho has thrown the brass knucks to him, but KO has cost Jericho matches. And it slowly starts to become unraveled because of the two, people want to cheer Jericho more than anything. So I think it leads into Mania where Jericho face, Owens heel, and he gives that rub off to Kevin Owens going into the strong match that we will likely get to if Vince is still somewhat dedicated to Balor.
Let me throw it a pat on that one. I mean, my big question mark that's still, I wouldn't say it's a matter of solving it, but it's a concern, is do you want Goldberg to have an even Steven match going into the match with Lesnar? I think that undoes a lot of what Goldberg did at Survivor Series and the Royal Rumble if he doesn't just go in and squash Owens. Now, I'm not endorsing squashing Owens. I'm just saying right now they're big time invested in Goldberg Lesnar, and they haven't treated Owens as a top level serious act. He's a Universal Champion, but it's mostly about the dynamic with Jericho, and Owens brags about winning, but he never really wins in a way that builds his badass image by any means. So I just don't know how you can have Goldberg go in there and do anything but basically jackhammer and pin Owens unless there's shenanigans. But even then, I don't think you want to risk Goldberg getting hurt. There's too much at stake. So I still don't think we've solved that issue, because I think even a four-minute match, Pat, undoes a lot of what Survivor Series and Rumble did to the Goldberg mystique. Your thoughts?
Well, I suppose you could do a 4-minute match, but if you did that, if you did that, it would pretty much have to be 2.5 minutes of Owens and Jericho stalling, and then Goldberg killing Owens.
Right.
I kind of like the idea of Owens being treated more seriously than Brock Lesnar as an opponent for Goldberg. I just don't see it happening that way. It's tough. I mean, pretty much. The only way you could get out of it is have Owens get himself disqualified somehow, and that means Goldberg has to kill him. Then it would beg the question of, okay, why doesn't Goldberg get a rematch with Owens instead of going off to fight Lesnar?
Michael, anything else?
No, that's a good scenario that kind of solves it. You just have Jericho calls a quick DQ and crowds, mad at the end of the night, but it, I guess, maybe solves your problem, Wade. I don't know that it makes everyone happy in the short term, but in the long term, it would.
Yeah, it's a fascinating scenario. Gives us something to talk about the next 4 weeks for sure. Michael, thanks for calling. Let's go to our bottom of the hour break, and when we come back, we have VIP member Benjamin from Philly on deck, and then Joe from Philly and Reginald from Portland up next. Those are the next three callers. So if you want to get in line on the phone, banks 515-605-9345. We got a UFC pay-per-view this weekend. Holly Holm on top. Women's on top. Women's championship. The new women's championship on top. Full details on that right now at our sister site, MMATorch.com. Here's some details on what we do over at our sister site. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com. covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. In the last break, we ran the ad for MMATorch.com, our sister site. Dana White, we just talked about this, reported on it this weekend at MMATorch.com, referred to Anderson Silva as the Tom Brady of UFC. Not sure I disagree with that. Anderson Silva, I once wrote an editorial at MMATorch.com, greatest athlete of his generation in any sport. You can make a case for that up until his title loss, but that stretch of time that he dominated and dominated in a way that was just it felt scripted at times. Some of the Forrest Griffin fight jumps out in terms of just what a showman he was. But I think Tom Brady, if there was a case for Anderson Silva, I think Tom Brady leapfrogged him pretty decisively with that second. I won't even say second half performance, the last 20 minutes of the game performance, the last one third of the game on Sunday. Just amazing. But Anderson Silva fighting this weekend. And again, we'll have previews of that full fight card. If you're a casual UFC fan, MMATorch.com is a great site for you in addition to being a hardcore fan, because we try to write preview articles to kind of get you set up to understand what's at stake in the fights and what the ramifications are and give some background on things so that you can enjoy the pay-per-views if you order them, or the live fight shows on Fox Sports 1 and the Bellator shows on Spike. So check it out. Whether you're a casual fan or hardcore fan, MMATorch.com will keep you up to date on all the top stories throughout the week, along with some special editorials, fight previews, and live fight coverage. Right here on the live cast on Monday, February 6, 2017, I'm Wade Keller, joined by Torch columnist Pat McNeil, and we're about to go back to phone calls and talk more about tonight's Raw, starting with VIP member Benjamin from Philadelphia. Benjamin, thanks for calling. What have you got for us today?
Hey, Wade. Hey, Pat. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing great. Good. Thanks for calling again.
No problem. I've only got 2 points for you guys tonight. My first point is about Samoa Joe. Last week, I was complaining that he was thrown into the Triple H and Seth Rollins feud. And this week, I had a completely different change of heart, which is different from everybody else, because I thought that putting him in against Roman Reigns was actually a good thing, because it kind of continued along the line of the point that you made last week, which was throw Samoa Joe in there with big-name stars and make him look like a superstar, which I thought they did today, because he pretty much destroyed Roman Reigns tonight, apart from a few shots that Roman Reigns threw in, and I wanted kind of your take on him being in that main event spot.
Pat, yeah, your thoughts on throwing Joe in there against the top guy this week. Should they have milked that for longer, saved it for longer, had Joe done what Braun Strowman's done, you know, squash some people, dominate, build up that anticipation, or does it make sense just throw him in there with Roman and try to pop a rating? And I don't know if pop a rating's the right word, but, you know, give some substance to the third hour to hold the viewership as best they can is probably a better way to put it in 2017 parlance.
Well, I think they decided that, you know, Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe aren't really set to cross paths, you know, because Reigns' next two feuds are probably going to be with Braun Strowman and, if rumor is correct, The Undertaker. So there's no downside to having them fight, plus you could presumably keep up the momentum from last week's show. And it'll make Joe look good to be portrayed on an even level footing with Roman Reigns. So yeah, I mean that was good. And plus, you know, Joe has always been able to deliver at a main event level, whether he's in TNA or whether he's in ROH, I mean, or NXT. He seems to fit in on top, and his character is such that it really doesn't work as a second match guy. You know, he was doing the Triple H, you know, I am the game, I am the top guy bit, you know, 12 years ago, but probably longer than that in Ring of Honor, and doing it better than Triple H was doing it on Raw. So, yeah, I mean, he's a fitting main eventer until such time as he physically starts to give out.
Yeah, I think that, Benjamin, I understand you being happier this week. I mean, he scored a pin over Roman. It was tainted. But, I mean, sometimes it – and, again, I want to kind of process my thoughts on this, because I think Joe versus Roman in another era would have been saved. But in the three-hour Raw era, and just try to get him introduced in the mix, you can make a case for it. Yeah, just get him in there, show off his style against the top guy. I have mixed feelings about it. And part of it is just, what do they have planned for Joe at WrestleMania? And what do they have planned for between now and Mania too? How do they plan to utilize him and keep him over? But Pat, in terms of the way they spoke about Joe, saying that it took him 18 years to get to WWE, I was a little nervous about that. I was critical of TNA when they'd always talk about how old Sting was. And I'm like, he doesn't look his age. He wears makeup. You know, for a while he looked okay until he started wearing those giant oversized t-shirts to cover up the fact that he wasn't hitting the gym, but or as much, or just showing his age, as 50-year-olds often do, who are bodybuilders when they're younger. And I was like, don't draw attention to how long he's been around. You know, he still can pass for a guy in his prime. But with Joe, does that serve Joe to talk about how it took him 18 years to get here? Does that make him seem like a minor league guy who could never make it? Or did they frame it on commentary, especially when they compared him to AJ Styles, as simply a guy who just happened to not be in WWE and succeeded elsewhere? What was your take on how they positioned Joe verbally and talked about his bio this week, Pat?
Yeah, I was worried, like you said, but they did seem to compare it to AJ Styles, and I think the casual fan is thinking, well, if he's an AJ Styles level guy, and I enjoy AJ Styles, then Joe's probably pretty good. And you know, that might actually be a way to do something with Joe at WrestleMania if you're not going to have AJ Styles wrestle Shane McMahon, why wouldn't you have AJ Styles wrestle Samoa Joe? Just because they're on different brands, but you can make it a Raw versus SmackDown dream match or something like that. I mean, that would work.
I would have brought up, if I heard that language, I would have suggested we not say it took Joe 18 years to get to WWE. I would have framed it differently. I would have framed it as Joe has been tearing it up all over the world. Since, even though he's not as world traveled.
They should have called him an 18-year veteran and not said that it took him 18 years to get there.
Yeah, and I think you're kind of digging a hole you got to get yourself out of. And maybe even frame it as Joe was a guy that, and this is where Graves should say it. You know, he could say, Cole, you say it took him 18 years to get here. I say it took WWE 18 years to get him. I know what this guy has done outside of WWE. I know that that he could have come in here sooner if he wanted to. And he does things his way. And he wanted to dominate everywhere else in the world, and he did. And he had so much success. I don't know. I mean, you know, you want to work that out, because I know WWE doesn't want to draw a ton of attention to the fact that there's this other world out there, and they shy away from that. But if they could find wording that Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn and company would be comfortable and sign off on, I like the idea of somebody saying, no, it's not that it took him 18 years to get here. He could have come here 10 years ago. He just chose not to be here. And because he's, drove a hard bargain. He had a feuds to settle around the world. I don't know. There's got to be a better way to put that than it took him 18 years to get here. That's the language that I think hurts, even in the comparisons to AJ.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about this, there's something that ties in with that, which is Samoa Joe during that opening promo referencing that Triple H was the one guy who believed in him and brought him into NXT, which really made that a lot worse, you know? We're back to, it's Triple H. Oh, Lord Triple H, saved every savior of the universe, blah, 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 blah.
I'd have rather had Triple H say, WWE's tried to get Samoa Joe for over a decade and a half once he started tearing it up around the world and dominating in the ring. And Joe didn't get along with Vince McMahon. He didn't get along with the corporate people who wanted to sign him. He didn't want to play by their rules. And it took Triple H having a reason to bring him in at a big price to take out Seth that finally got Joe to agree to come to WWE. And again, they're not going to want to tell that story, that there's another world out there and someone would choose not to come here. But Pat, the idea that Triple H finally believed in him, it's like, this is not 20-year-olds sleeping on each other's couches, eating tuna fish out of, from fast food restaurants and in carpooling 8 to a car, and oh God, Triple H believes in us and now we're on TV. Thanks. Yeah, I just don't think that's how you want to portray Joe. And so again, mixed feelings right now, not crazy about that language. But again, the commentary during the main event, talked about, you know, they did say he had success all over the world, and did compare him to AJ Styles. So I think they did some repaired some of the potential damage. But again, I was a little wincing a little bit when I first heard that, and then heard Cole go back to it during the match. Benjamin, you called us. You had a couple points. Go ahead, Pat, if you got to follow it.
Well, I mean, it was also a weird show in that you talk about they don't recognize this other world out there. Tonight, they actually referenced Akira Tozawa's time in Dragon Gate of all places, and that got mentioned on WWE. But we can't talk about Joe, you know, what Joe actually accomplished.
Yeah. Yep. Good point, Benjamin. Yeah. What else have you got for us?
My other point was about Braun Strowman. What happened to Braun Strowman? Braun Strowman was horrible months ago, horrible. And then all of a sudden, it seems like Braun Strowman is just getting it. His facial expressions are a lot better. When he attacks somebody, it's really credible. He just is coming across like a tough guy who could beat up anybody, who's scary. He doesn't look like he's like just making faces. It looks like it's like a natural reaction to his anger to beating somebody. It's like, what did he just like wake up one day and go, oh, wait a minute, I can wrestle. I can actually act. Like, what happened?
That's actually, I have a question, and I agree with you. That's been his progression, and I'm going to ask around about that and see if it was just woke up one morning, or he progressed quickly and kind of clicked, or if somebody worked with him specifically and he worked on it. That's actually a good question, because I agree with you. I think he has gone from, oh boy, I think I compared him with Steve Austin to Jeep Swenson. Back in the mid-80s in World Class Championship Wrestling, you know, Google Jeep Swenson World Class Wrestling, and you'll see there's, you know, some similarities between them. But, I mean, Jeep never got any better, and Braun has. Pat, do you agree or disagree with that observation that Braun, it seems like something's clicked in the last few months?
Well, I agree, but there's a simple explanation. I mean, Braun Strowman, when he came into WWE, had virtually no experience. And, you know, and one thing that makes a young wrestler better is getting lots of matches, is, you know, getting ring time, getting lots of matches. So it might just be something as simple as he's learning. You know, he's learning like anybody else who's getting through their first couple of years in the business, and he's picking things up. And, you know, and being a young wrestler and having your bosses have confidence in you, that's got to help a lot.
Yeah, good point. All right, Benjamin, anything else?
No, that's all. I just wanted to thank you guys, first of all, because listening to this show has completely changed the way I view professional wrestling. And thanks for calling me by name this time around.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thanks for being
You're
a
welcome.
VIP member and for the kind words.
No problem, and I'll talk to you again next time.
Excellent, thanks. Yeah, that's what's great about, I mean, doing the show and reaching the audience that we do. Pat, we've been doing this a long time, and we look at wrestling through a certain lens, and I think there's a lot of people who are wrestling fans, and they love the business, and they want to learn more about it. But, you know, it's a lot of just kind of podcasts where it's just fans, and it's fine, fans just reacting to what they like. And you know, laughing and smiling and raving and all of that, and that's cool. But to like, you know, we try to look at why do they do things? What is the reason behind it? And then is it sound reasoning? And if it's not, where does that unsound reasoning come from? What motivates it? Is it politics? Is it just weird proclivities and preferences that never work and they just go back to it? It is Bruce Mitchell says this all the time too. It is a fascinating business to study. And no matter how long you've been a fan, and if you've been a fan for a while and you're craving understanding how this thing works and why things are done the way that they're done, that's what we're kind of here for. That's what keeps me as interested and fascinated and learning as I am in this and the business. Every, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, it just seems to cycle into a new era where a lot of the questions are changed and a lot of the answers are different and the fan base is different and the foundation from where everything comes from. Just, you know, there's a whole history to it, but it is ever evolving and a whole changing cast of power players and wrestlers in the ring. And that kind of approach certainly keeps this show fresh and drives what we do. And it's great when somebody says what Benjamin said. So thank you for that. All right. I want to stay in the order I promised, and we'll go to Joe from Philly next. Joe, thanks for calling. What have you got for Pat and me?
Hey, Wade and Pat, how you guys doing tonight?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
Good.
I just wanted to run a quick scenario by you guys. You know, I heard about the Goldberg and Owens, and I immediately, for some reason, I mean, after seeing all the interference on Raw tonight between the tag title match, I mean, Owens kicking Sammy in the U.S. title match, Braun on Roman, the women's match, I mean, it just got me thinking, do you see possibly Brock Lesnar interfering and finally giving Goldberg some comeuppance? I mean, Goldberg has been embarrassing Lesnar pretty much since he came in. I mean, do you guys see maybe Lesnar giving Goldberg some comeuppance and maybe give Lesnar some credibility walking in this match so people don't think, you know, hey, Lesnar's just going to get squashed again. There's no really reason to be invested in this match. I mean, is there any possibility you can go into that?
Yeah, I mean, that is a scenario we should talk about, Pat. The first thing that came to my mind before I throw to you, Pat, for response is, I don't know, maybe you could say Lesnar doesn't care about championships. He just cares about getting back at Goldberg, and that solidifies him as a heel if he were to interfere at Fastlane. Lesnar doesn't like to fly and go anywhere without getting paid a lot of money. And if you're not advertising him, that's risky. And is it cost effective? But if it's the best way to tell the story you want to tell for Mania, you can justify that expense. Number two, why would Lesnar want to cost Goldberg the shot? He's facing him at Mania. Wouldn't he want a chance to beat Goldberg and become champion? That said, it is the escape hatch for all the problems we talked about earlier, Pat.
Yeah, I mean, and they've already once this year, we've already seen Lesnar show up unadvertised, which was kind of surprising. So I suppose they could do it again. They could have Lesnar show up at Fastlane. It might actually be a good idea because it's going, you know, if you do Goldberg versus Lesnar with Lesnar having, you know, taken a beating, then that really ruins some of the anticipation for this.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be fascinating. Joe, anything else?
That's all for me. Thank you guys very much.
Cool. Appreciate it. Thanks for rolling. Thanks for calling. All right. Up next, Reginald from Portland. Thanks for calling. What do you got for us tonight?
Hey, guys. How are you doing this evening?
Doing well.
Good.
I was actually at the show. I just got back.
Oh, great. Oh. Excellent. Oh, yeah. Portland. Yeah. Tell us about the live in-person experience.
I'll tell you this much. It was a lot better than the show I went to a few years ago. I actually had the foresight to take a few notes, just a few things, just to, like, some memorable parts. I'll definitely tell you this much. Those poor cruiserweights. Those poor, poor cruiserweights.
Dead crowd.
I've never seen so many. Oh, man. You know, and they're giving it their all, man. But they just, the pieces ain't fitting yet. You know what I mean? Like, I've never seen so many people just get up and just go to the bathroom.
Wow.
I mean, it was just, it was bad. It was pretty bad.
I'll interrupt just to interject this. When Austin Aries started the interview and he talked and then he paused and it was silent, I was like, Austin, don't stop talking. there's no room to pause. Just keep talking because you don't want to expose how just pin drop silence it was in that building at that moment.
Oh, man. It was, seriously, like you could hear a cricket fart, man, as Steve Austin would say. A few takeaways. Charlotte, the biggest heel pop of the night. The biggest boo. Like, she's genius. Like, she is so good at what she does. Every time that she came up on screen, when she came out and interfered in the match between Nia Jax and Bayley, like, it was a rumble. But in that good, you want to boo her kind of way. Chris Jericho got the biggest pop of the night. Second was Enzo and Cass. People really, 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 really want to like Chris Jericho. It is so obvious. It was one of those cases where, like, no matter what he did, I was really close too. I had really, really, really good seats, so I got to actually like really like study his facial expressions and how he can carry an audience. The man's a genius. Like, he's an all around genius.
Were you the one in the front row holding the I Love Roman sign?
No, no, I wasn't.
Oh, okay. Well, you said you had really good seats. I know that person had great seats.
Glad we cleared that up.
Yeah, they were getting laughed at, though. Like, there were people next to me. Yeah, let's go, Roman. And the people next to me, like, on the other side of me were just side-eyeing them, like, just be quiet. And it was weird, too, because when he first came out, it sounded mixed. It sounded like really, really mixed, like that kind of John Cena 50-50. And then once he started talking, that's when the booing started. And then we came back out. It got worse. But what was really, really, really bad was with a part where Strowman came out. And then after Samoa Joe beat Roman and decimated him, then Strowman comes out. Crowd started chanting, "Thank you, Strowman." You know, clap, clap. Thank you, Strowman. Like, they're thanking the guy for beating up Roman Reigns.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was nice. Okay, I've got to ask this. It seemed like Akira Tozawa was actually getting a good reaction for his match. Maybe it was because it wasn't that long.
Yeah, as soon as I was joking with the cats next to me, I'm like, as soon as I see them change those ropes to purple, I'm getting up and I'm gonna go grab some coffee or something. So they change the ropes to purple. I get up and I leave, and they're running, you know, the Akira, you know, his little package or whatnot. And I didn't realize he was debuting, but I heard like the crowd like really react. I'm like, okay, so I went in, and it was a really good match. Like he had some really good fire, and the people seen behind him, it was really, really good for him, I think. As far as debuts go, he did really good, I think.
Yeah, I'm guessing people missed the debut that it was on 205 Live. I'm guessing actually a lot of people miss 205 Live every week.
I like
that they portrayed him as a star and made a big deal out of him. I think it's important, you know, one of the reasons fans are leaving during that is Raw's 3 hours long and they don't want to miss the stars that they paid to see, and the cruiserweights are not the stars that they paid to see because they're all new guys. Even Neville is relatively new and his heel character is pretty new. You know, I mean, that is the time when you're going to see people leave. If you took the cruiserweights out and put the shining stars out there against, you know, the Ascension, I don't care. I mean, people are going to leave for that too. It's going to, unfortunately, take more time than I think anybody wanted it to, because they don't have that Rey Mysterio level star that transcends weight division or new division, being a new division. They just don't have that yet. So it's a division of a lot of, you know, just kind of lower, it feels like lower mid card acts. Gallagher feels that way right now. Noam Dar feels that way. Cedric feels that way. TJP feels that way. So they can plug away at it and hope that that star emerges and do what they did tonight with Tozawa and try to promote somebody, as a star and hope that they are that star that fans will recognize. But yeah, I mean, this is not the first time that's happened, Reginald, and it's got to be a bit deflating for the cruiserweights. I know Vince McMahon has shown signs of losing some patience with 205 Live having this much time on Raw, and it might cut down. He might cut down how long they're out there. I'm not even sure that's an awful idea until they figure out who that transcendent star is that can carry the division. But there's some talent in there, but they've got we've dissected this. I mean, it's just, they haven't had that top baby face and that top heel yet. I think people are hoping Austin Aries becomes that Chris Jericho like top baby face that fans love. And he carries himself like a star, and that Neville doing a Game of Thrones / Conor McGregor heel act, just a brash, cocky, dominant, physically intimidating heel will eventually catch on. I mean, he's certainly playing his role well in that regard, but it's going to take some patience and persistence.
Yeah. I will say this. Neville's really good at being a heel. He got like the proper booze that a heel should get. But he played the coward.
I love when he came to the big spot and didn't do it. Like that's what a heel does. Heels don't do spectacular spots. They mess with the fans, tease it, and then they laugh when they don't do it.
Right. Yeah, it was like really snarky, and I saw it coming a mile away, but it was still cool to watch. I'm like, finally, a guy who's acting like a heel, who's doing his job. Two things. I agree with the other caller about Strowman. Wow, he's doing so good right now. He is doing so good. His expressions are all there. His attitude, his fire is there. That we all did start laughing when we found out that it was a 4-on-1 match.
Oh, I love those
jobbers. Which is a good. I like that old school 90s jobber way of building him up, just really like really building him to be be this force of nature at some point. I did write down in my notes when Samoa Joe came out, great entrance, horrible music. I do miss the old theme. But my one concern I'll leave you guys with that get out of here. One concern, I don't know if this crossed your minds, I really hope they don't treat him like Taz. When Taz came to WWE from ECW, and how they misused Taz. In fact, it is in the back of my mind. I really hope the same thing doesn't happen. I'll leave you guys with that. Have a good evening. Keep up the good work. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Reginald. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
Anytime. Thanks.
Absolutely. Another on-site report. Always good to get those. If you attend Raw or SmackDown in person, you can tip us off that you will be calling by emailing pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Say, I'm at the show or I'll be at the show when I'm calling in, and let us know your phone number. We will move you up in line because it's always great. One of the great things about the time slot of the show is just hearing from people most weeks now who attend Raw or SmackDown in person and call to give us that in-building perspective, which is valuable. And we very much appreciate people like Reginald taking time to do that. Don't we, Pat?
Yes, we do. In fact, tomorrow night in Seattle, if anybody's going to be there, be sure to call Wade.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love the jobber who just ran to the back, in the middle of the match.
That
was
nice.
I'm done with this. I'm done. That was classic. I love that one. All right. In fact, Corey Graves, I think, said he's halfway. Oh, he's on an Uber to Seattle already. Wasn't that the line? Did he use it in that line of reference to the jobber?
I think that was his line. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know he said that line. Just wasn't sure. Jobber. Oh, cool. Michael just emailed us, and I meant to ask Reginald this, if there was a dark match. Fans in Portland who attended this week's Raw got a bonus of Brock Lesnar coming out to the ring after the show, and he issued an open challenge. The challenge was accepted by Big Show. Lesnar got the win over Big Show. Interesting. Is that Reginald? Are you still on hold, Reginald? You still there?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. Did that happen?
Hello?
Did that happen? Did Brock Lesnar come out with Big Show? Oh, my God. He just hung up on us. Reginald, you're on the live cast list. Sorry for gimmick infringement. Anyway, maybe he left before that happened. I don't know. Or he's too embarrassed. All right. Yeah, who knows? All right, let's go to Dan from Illinois. Dan, thanks for calling. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. Benjamin pointed out, Braun Strowman has gotten much better recently. I think that has been since his live cast with Steve Austin, or his podcast.
Yeah.
It seems like ever since then, he's been fantastic. He's really turned a new page on his career. Your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I think 6 months ago, Pat, right around the time of the draft, who would have believed we'd have one caller after another and us agreeing that Braun Strowman's become, at the role he plays? Like, I've said this before. I'm not someone who just wants everybody to be mid-sized great athletes having, great matches. Four and a quarter, four and a half, which was it? I like the variety of styles and body types and personalities. That's what I grew up watching. I don't like all big wrestlers who are just monsters. It doesn't always work. Sometimes they're not good at what they do, or their matches are so bad that it's not redeemable. But I think they've done a really nice job with Braun, and I agree, Braun has really caught up to the push he's getting. And so this is a good example of it. But Pat, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, you could have put this on a multiple choice quiz of what is least likely to happen. A February 2017 live cast of people talking about how good Braun Strowman has become, and that would have been the joke answer on a prediction list.
Yeah, if I can... no question.
Yeah, Dan.
I would put Baron Corbin in there as well. Both him and Braun have come and gone leaps and bounds from the draft to where they are now.
Who would have predicted Braun Strowman would have more buzz than Apollo Crews a year ago on the main roster?
Not me.
Nobody.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's one of the things that's fascinating about this business. You got to keep your mind open and pay attention every week because sometimes things change. Yeah.
I don't know, Wade. I like to keep my mind closed at my age so things don't fall out.
Well, that explains a lot, Pat. No, I'm kidding. Dan, anything else?
Did you guys listen to Steve Austin with Bruce Pritchard?
No, I haven't.
No. Oh.
They talked about how people are afraid to bring up their own ideas or question what is given to them. Do you guys see anybody doing that, or is everybody just, oh, we got to follow the script and here's what's given to us? One example was Rock and Triple H. Triple H went off script with Rock, and the Rock would go to the back and be mad because he's trying to do his job, and Triple H was kind of doing his own thing. And I don't see anybody doing that today. Everybody is word for word just doing what they're told.
Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I mean, there are guys who, you know, who get to the point where, I mean, the only guys who get the privileges are the guys that WWE trusts to, you know, to not do anything stupid. I think you have John Cena who's on that list, and probably Seth Rollins at this point. That's not a good example, but I mean, it's only a handful of guys, and if you're not on that list, you know, you're better. I mean, they don't want to be second guessed.
And you have to know what you're talking about. You have to have good ideas. And somebody who offers up, I mean, Ryback spoke up and had ideas. And the more we hear them, the more we think, maybe he needed to listen more and talk less. You know, I mean, so not everybody has great ideas. Not everybody understands the business. Some people are good athletes with good looks, and they've got natural ability, athletic ability, but they don't understand the machinery of WWE, and I'm not saying WWE, obviously, I don't think they do everything right, but if you're a wrestler and you're like, hey, what about me? I have a great idea. Here's what we should do with me and Brock Lesnar at Mania. And it's like, yeah, but that's outside of the realm of where you are now, and you need to put in more time or show more, prove that you can do that. But the counter to that is WWE doesn't really foster an environment that where somebody's going to even know how to come up with those types of ideas for themselves when they're part of such a structure where there isn't a lot of freelancing. So, I mean, it's easy to say if you're Bruce Pritchard, hey, guys need to, you know, guys are scared to give their ideas because he's seen that. I mean, he's seen it with his own eyes, but it's tough to be the wrestler who doesn't know, is my idea good or not? Well, you got to have some trusted people in the company that you can run them by first. And then you have to have a thick skin. And they either say, yeah, that's a good idea, take it to Vince, or you're not ready for this yet, and you need to wait before you do that, or you're going to get laughed at behind your back or to your face. And so part of it is just kind of knowing the structure and knowing where to go with your ideas before you maybe embarrass yourself by going, you know, to Vince or one of the top guys right away.
Yeah, and it would be nice, Wade, if there were somebody, you know, in a position like that who could tell these wrestlers, okay, here's why your idea doesn't work, and here's why, so that they at least understand, at least understand what the company's looking for.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Dan. Anything else?
Yeah, that's it, guys. Thank you very much.
Cool. Appreciate it very much. All right, let me see here. Pat, you know, we didn't talk about everything on Raw yet, and is there anything that we haven't addressed that jumps out to you? Maybe something flying under the radar a little bit with callers and me so far that's worth commenting on.
Well, obviously the big story, way that we didn't address is that Emelina is going to show up on Raw next week.
Yes. Now, my theory is that she has been, that the gimmick is going to be, because there's all these, you know, great bikini shots, and she's like all sexy on the beach with water flowing behind her and all of that, but she's put off, she hasn't appeared for so long, and that she's going to show up and she's going to weigh like she's going to rival Nia Jax, like for weight, like she's going to put, and the joke is going to be that, you know, she thinks she's sexy and or that she was delayed because she just was gorging herself, and now because I could see Vince and Kevin Dunn thinking this is hilarious. Let's make fun of the fat girl. So that's my working theory on why she hasn't debuted yet and why they made such a big deal out of her showing up, and that when she does, she won't look anything like she did in the photo shoot, you know, however long ago that was, 10 months ago.
And it's an inside joke, because that's what happened when ROH had Kevin Owens go away and he didn't come back for a while.
There we go. What is it going to be with Emelina? Like, what do you expect, Pat?
Let's see. I have no idea. I mean, I think that maybe she's going to run crossways of Dana Brooke, who, you know, who will want to be friends again, and we'll have this big Emma versus Dana Brooke feud that was set up in NXT that they never delivered on.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Trying to think if there's anything else. The Charlotte Sasha angle in the training room. What'd you think of that?
Well, Charlotte was being a bully, and, you know, WWE has no tolerance of bullies, as I'm sure that we'll learn in upcoming episodes of Raw.
All right. Let's bring... go ahead. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, let's bring Reginald call back. Do we have confirmation on Big Show and Brock Lesnar, Reginald?
Hey, yeah, what's up? I was literally on my way out of the door, just to get a head start so I could beat the traffic.
Right.
And then... it was right when Roman, like, he got thrown, like, through the barricade by, we got that move by Strowman, and we're like, oh, that's cool, all right, and Raw, and then Brock Lesnar's music hits, and everyone just stops, and they just, like, stop at the entrance, and then they walk up there, and might I add, Brock was, like, more enthusiastic than normal, like
weird.
Uber, like, fired up babyface normal, like, he was, like, really happy to be there. It was really. It was actually really. It wasn't stoic. It was really strange. Then him and
that's almost disconcerting.
You know,
that's just the world flipped upside down. What's going on?
It was crazy. Yeah, we're talking about how Strowman is. Brock is excited. Yeah, like cast living together. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman gets on the mic. Yada yada. You know, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman. You know, the whole spiel. And then he's like, unfortunately, Goldberg is no longer in the building. Everybody boos. But he's like, Brock came here for a fight. If anybody in the back wants to get their butt kicked, come on out. And then we're like, because we're all thinking, is it Joe? Is Joe going to come back out? But no, it would be Big Show music hits. He got a big pop, though. But it really wasn't even a match. It was just Big Show gets in slowly steps in the ring. Bell rings. He tries to go for a choke slam. Brock dodges it, gives him an F5, tears his shirt off, and leaves.
All right. Yeah, we got to figure out what that.
Yeah, it really wasn't. But it was. Yeah. But it was like a good surprise because it wasn't advertised to be there. So it was like, oh wait.
Was there a dark match before the taping began, Reginald? Now that we got you back.
Yes. Oh yes, there was. It was Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel.
And how did that go?
Oh,
okay then.
In my notes, I put. Bow equals bowl ring.
Very good. All right.
Probably
have a good night, guys.
Appreciate you calling back. By the way, we love when callers call. You can contribute to our website, too, by the way. We always like results from shows and live reports of Raw and SmackDown. TV tapings, NXT, ROH, TNA, house shows over the weekends. Do not assume that someone else will send a report. That doesn't always happen. PWTorch@gmail.com. That's PWTorch@gmail.com is the main address to send us news, news tips, and results. And a show like tonight, if you're at it and you want to send us your in-person notes, we'd love to publish your impressions of being there live. And obviously, when there's newsworthy things like Lesnar and Big Show showing up unannounced, it's good to send that our way too, but we certainly welcome people calling the show and or emailing us to put those news reports up on our website, pwtorch.com. Let's go to Sean from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Sean, I don't think I went to you yet. Thanks for holding.
Oh, no problem, Wade. Hey, Pat, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to ask a couple of new things. I was with you, though, Wade. I mean, I'm kind of with you on, I think Goldberg would have to squash KO because, you know, it just doesn't, I mean, the caller before it, I mean, made some, you know, good points, but it would seem weird. I mean, unless you have Jericho just immediately come in and make a save, you know, and try to do something weird, then you know, he gets DQ and that's it. Because I'm with you. I don't see Goldberg Lesnar. I just don't see it needing a title. It just, it kind of would throw everything off in my, for me. But, you know, that's just me, yeah. I guess. But I had two things. Like, the first thing was, I'm kind of, I don't know where they're going. I feel like with the tag team division in general, like, I mean, I'm glad that Gallows and Anderson have the titles and they're kind of, I guess, semi-pushing them a little bit, but it feels like they're just kind of, you know, they got the DQ, you know, to win tonight, but it's just kind of like, I wish I knew kind of where they were going in the whole scheme of things, like who, if they're not going to let Sheamus and Cesaro eventually get the tag titles, like who are they, who's in line to next try to get them, and what are they going to do with Sheamus and Cesaro? I'm kind of weirded on that, like that kind of just, it doesn't really seem like it's going anywhere right now, per se. I don't know if they're just trying to drag it for a little bit and then get it going kind of toward WrestleMania in the next, you know, toward Fastlane. But I wanted to see what you guys thought about that. And then also with the Bayley and Charlotte, you know, title match next week, you know, it's kind of like, I feel like, you know, they're probably going to have a great match and, you know, let Charlotte go over. And, you know, because I mean, I love what she's doing and, you know, but I love Bayley. I feel like, you know, too many losses. Like, what does that do for her? Like, eventually, does she just kind of, you know, get with Nia Jax a while and kind of end up beating her and kind of get her going toward WrestleMania? Or, like, where do you think that that's going to? Because I don't want Bayley to, like, lose another match like that unless, you know, something weird happens next week. But where do you think that's going?
Pat, go ahead and take that.
I suspect that next week, you know, Sasha Banks is going to limp on down and whack Charlotte with a crutch or something, and then we're not going to have a finish to that match. The rumor is that we're going to get a, instead of the three-way women's match we had last year at WrestleMania, we're going to one-up it with a four-way women's match with Bayley, Charlotte, Nia, and Sasha, since they seem to be the only four women in the division, even though they're not. So that's where I think that they're headed.
How about tag division?
Tag division, well, it looks like the next step is Anderson and Gallows versus Enzo and Big Cass at Fastlane, and then who knows, and then you have to figure out what they're going to do for WrestleMania.
I got a kick out of, I think it was Graves, who said that Anderson and Gallows are a great tag team. They're great tag team wrestlers. Like, pay no attention to all those singles matches that they've lost. When they're good is when they're in a tag team. So I don't know. I got a kick out of it. Seemed like he was stressing that, and for a reason, being, hey, these guys, let's try to rebuild them a little bit as a tag team. And Corey is kind of self-aware of some of those things and has a way with his words to get that across. I mean, Vince McMahon just has a history of not spending a lot of time, you know, building up, tag teams that are next in line, and he doesn't put a lot of thought into it, invest a lot in it. It's just sort of when the two teams who are feuding are done or about to be done, he just thinks about it for a week or two and just goes with it. And so it's hard to forecast that. You know, it's just his way of doing things. I mean, there's been times he's just almost by happenstance had five tag teams who fans cared about and, you know, that were kind of in rotation. But I mean, it's just not, you know, not typically what it is, but right now, I mean, Enzo and Cass and Anderson and Gallows and Sheamus and Cesaro. I mean, it's a decent tag division right now, but I still go back to Anderson and Gallows and where they could have been had they not treated them the way that they treated them half the time or two thirds of the time. And they could have been something special. And people saw that in New Japan, and it just, it's going to be hard to rebuild them to something more serious. And, you know, Cesaro and Sheamus is there, you know, half for comedy, you know, not because the tag team champion. It's clear Vince doesn't think the tag team championships in and of themselves are a draw or something, you know, to focus on or protect. So you sort of take what you can get when things strike in a good way. And, I mean, they're having some good matches. I mean, Sheamus, Cesaro, and Anderson Gallows are, I think, a good physical matchup.
Yeah, I'm thinking back, Wade, as to the Paul London and Brian Kendrick shoot interview where they explained that, you know, they got to talk to Shane McMahon, and Shane's advice to them was to get out of the tag team division because his father didn't care about tag teams.
Right, yeah.
That was good advice.
Anything else, Sean?
I did like that they made Samoa Joe, you know, again, seem like a badass tonight. Like, that was cool to see. I mean, I was kind of with you, you know, Wade. I kind of thought, you know, Samoa Roman, like, now. But then it was funny, like, Roman, the few moves he got, you know, were the same moves, and I just kind of laugh every time it happens. I'm like, you know, here comes the Samoan drop, and then here's a couple Superman punches, and here comes, you know, what's going to happen next? Oh, wait, a spear, maybe. Oh, wait, no. Okay, he got nailed again or something, you know. But it just looks like you guys said, like I was kind of saying last week, I know they're definitely going, it looks like at least right now, that it's going to be Undertaker and him at WrestleMania, and I'm just like, I just want better for Undertaker, because I feel like, I mean, unless this is not the end, but I just want it to be the end, because I see the wear it's taken on his body, and I just, like, I would hate to, unless they go Roman heel on him at WrestleMania, it would seem like it's not going to be the match we all want, and if we're going to have a short Goldberg-Lesnar match, and then that match at the end, or, you know, it just seems kind of like, I just don't like the aspects of that, but hopefully they'll do something to show us more in the next few months, but no, that's all I got, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Sean, appreciate it. Good to hear from you again. Thanks. All right. Very good. We'll wrap up on that note. Pat, thank you for joining us again this week on the Post-Raw Show.
It's my pleasure, Wade. And for those of you who aren't VIPs yet, first of all, you should join. And second of all, join me and Greg Parks this Sunday after Elimination Chamber, when we'll be taking lots and lots and lots of your phone calls.
Yes, you will. That's a good plug to mention. Also, this Thursday, after Impact goes off the air, Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek are on the air with the new post-Impact show that started new this year. So if you're an Impact fan and you're looking for more coverage here on the livecast schedule, not only did we have Drew Galloway on the program last Thursday, but now Mike and Andrew covering it live in a format similar to this one, although they do trivia, they talk about TNA history, they've got a great format developing, and they're just looking for a good mix of callers like we get here on Mondays and Tuesday nights. So if you are an Impact fan, keep that in mind, form a new habit, and watch Impact live, and then join them for the post show right afterwards live and contribute with phone calls. So tomorrow I'll be on live right after SmackDown. Wednesday, John Arezzi, veteran pro wrestling radio show host, joins me once again. I always thoroughly enjoy when John's on the program, and that'll be at 1 Eastern Wednesday. Then it'll be interview Thursday on Thursday, and then at 1 Eastern, and then Thursday night it'll be the Impact post show, and then Bruce Mitchell will host the primetime Friday show once again, and then, as Pat said, Sunday following Elimination Chamber. Those are all the free shows. And yes, we do 5, 6, 7 free shows per week, but you can get a lot more, including ad-free versions of all those free shows with bonus content, along with tons of other podcasts throughout the month. New VIP audio shows every day, sometimes 3 or 4 additional VIP exclusive audio shows in a wide array of formats. And you can check out full details at pwtorch.com/goVIP. Pat McNeil, thank you once again. And we'll talk to you on, or we'll hear from you on Sunday.
Okay, good night, everybody.
All right. And here are some more details on the VIP membership that I just spoke of. We'd love to have you as a member. Listen to this and then sign up. Here you go. If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host 3 other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with a 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to pwtorchvip.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost 3 decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/goVIP. That's pwtorch.com/goVIP.
exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/goVIP. All right, thanks, everybody. We'd love for you to go VIP. Thanks to those who already are. You can follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller. I comment on pro wrestling and other things throughout the week. And you can follow our brand at PW Torch and follow our sister brand at MMA Torch. As I said, one of my favorite MMA fighters of all time, and I think a lot of others to watch do what he does, is still going at it strong. Anderson Silva, ranked number 7 against Derek Brunson, number 8 in a meaningful fight coming up this Saturday night, supporting the main event women's title fight. So the featherweight title, in fact, being established. So, and a lot of other no names on that show. So check that out. We'll have live coverage for you Saturday night, UFC 208 on pay-per-view. Get primed and ready for it with preview articles late this week and other content related to that show. We've also got coverage and news stories from this past Saturday night show and so much more. Check it out every day. Daily trivia, flashback articles, and more. That's MMATorch.com. That's it for me. Thanks, everybody, for sticking around till the end. And I'll talk to you tomorrow night after SmackDown and Wednesday for the Midweek Flagship with John Arezzi. And until next time, Wade Keller signing off. This is love.